radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 32. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You realize it's okay to look at yourself and be honest? Because Jesus has got you. Because that's where you're going to find the upright heart. That's where you're going to find that you have not set yourself at odds against God. The whole idea of transgression has at its core the idea of rebellion. It has the idea of making war against God. It can be war against a person. It can be war against God. But the idea of transgressing against God or somebody is us standing there trying to figure out how we can manage this situation in spite of the fact that we know what we've done or what we're guilty of is obvious to everyone else in some measure. Like the little child with the cake, the icing all over his face. No, not me. We understand it at that level, but it's not really cute when it's us, is it? When we're adults and we're falling into something and we're getting ourselves caught up, we need to know this. The moment you desire forgiveness, it's available. The moment you desire deliverance, it's available. The moment you desire to walk free, you can. Because Jesus paid it all. The problem is it doesn't go well with us if we don't come clean. David says, blessed is the man ultimately in whose spirit is no guile. Why is there no guile? Because it's a safe place in the presence of God to say, I'm a mess. Now, he doesn't tell David to go tell everybody. But David's the king, and it's hard to miss, right? If you were talking in our day, man, there's photographers for the celebrity everywhere. You can't hide. You're the celebrity. You're the king. Everybody knows something's askew. And what happened there? And boy, have you heard the rumors. And it got out. One soldier telling another. So he decides to take pen in hand and say, you know what? You're right. He was not only coming clean with God, but he was coming clean with everyone who might have been besmirched by it. It was Nathan who told him, he says, nevertheless, even though you've sinned, after he said, I've sinned, he said, nevertheless, the Lord has put away your sin. Powerful, right? He says, but you've given great cause for the enemies of the Lord to boast. See, there was a consequence even still. Now, sometimes what we do is we've set our jaw because we think there's going to be a consequence. There's already a consequence. But we set our jaw because we think there's going to be a consequence, and we don't want that consequence to happen. We don't mind the scandal, but we don't like the consequence. David said, I have sinned. He says, nevertheless, the Lord put away your sin. However, you've given great cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And that hurt him about as much as anything. But our passage tells us in verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Now, some translations like to say, through my groaning. Now, there's a difference between roaring and groaning. And the reason that that difference needs to be noted is because when you are walking under the sense of your own sin and shame, what happens is inside, you can't get away from it. It's like a roaring waterfall, like at Niagara Falls. It's like a roaring. It's in your head. It's in your mind. And sometimes you're just like, And there's the groan. The groan comes out, but there's a roaring under the surface. What I want to suggest to you, David is giving us a really what we might call the anatomy of conviction and alienation from a relationship that should be much better than it is. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Couldn't get away from it at all, even though he was doing everything he could to contain it, he couldn't. Verse 4 says, for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer, Selah. Selah means, think about everything I've said. Think about this. Sort of like a musical interlude. He says, stop right there and you think about that. Is it not true that in your own experience you found this to be so? If you've been married for any amount of time, there have been times where you just weren't in fellowship with your mate, and there have been times where you were just beaten down in your core. Your heart hurt. your stomach hurt, maybe you got headaches, every kind of thing that can happen. And then there was even times when you got busy and you forgot you were mad at each other and you started talking like it was normal and you're like, oh yeah, we're not supposed to be talking, are we? You forget because you're busy. But the fact is, suddenly it's just like ever before you. It's true. And we forget. I remember my wife said she and her friend were best of buddies and they got in a fight. And she said they didn't have any fellowship for a while because they were just mad. And one day she just got up from the house and she got her clothes on, went over to her friend's house, knocked on the door, and the girl opened up the door and she says, oh yeah, we're mad at each other. She forgot completely that they were mad at each other after a while. And the point is that that's kind of our experience, isn't it? We can identify with what he's saying. And I would suggest to you that what we've seen in this rejoicing thing, that David has been rejoicing, he wants you to think about that. Because when he was silent, his vitality dried up. He talks about it in verse 4. He calls it his moisture. But the idea is his juice. Okay? Somebody says, man, that guy's got some juice. He's up there. He's going to fight somebody. Oh, he's just full of, you know, spit and vinegar, as they say. He's just, oh, he's got some juice. He's powerful. He's strong. You know, you lose your strength when you're bummed out. You're sad. You're condemned. And, you know, in a real sense, it's very interesting to note that a lot of people understand it because of, like, maybe you've had a condition where you hadn't drank much all day, you know, no water, no fluids, you're just kind of going in, you try to eat and you can't swallow. We've all been there, right? You know how hard life is when you don't drink enough water? I mean, sometimes I've gone a whole day busy, sweating, whatever, and then come in to eat, even pasta, which you would think would be all lubricated, it wouldn't go down. I'm like, oh man, I'm choking on this. I learned some time ago, heard it on the radio, and I thought, wow, that's powerful. Asked a few people, they concurred. They said, you know, that's true. What I heard was that 75% of most illnesses people deal with, or diseases they deal with, is because of lack of hydration. 75, just drink a lot of water. It'll make a big difference in your life. There's a news you can use. Take that to the bank. Get a big jug of water. Drink it all day. But a lot of disease comes from being dehydrated. And what I would suggest to you, that's what he felt in his soul. Dehydrated. And the disease was great. God's hand was heavy upon him. Now, I want you to notice part of what he's rejoicing about is the blessedness of God's forgiveness, the blessedness of his unwillingness to impute to him iniquity. And interestingly enough, the word for impute in verse 2, it is, I think, means to calculate or think or plan or esteem or count on that. God doesn't count your iniquity against you. You know why? Because you are a sinner in your core. He's not up there saying, well, you're a sinner, I'm done with you. He already knew that. He knew it already. And if we've come to him, he's not going to hold that against us. Now think about the power of those words. He is not going to hold that against you. He knows you. He knows what you're like better than you do. In fact, sometimes he allows you to go into certain situations so that you'll realize that you're a sinner. Sometimes we like to get up on the top of our high horse, boy, I've gotten victory over this, and victory in this, and victory in this, and we feel pretty good. And suddenly, the Bible says, let him who standeth take heed lest he fall, right? Pride goes before destruction, right? We need to be careful. Haughty spirit before a fall. We need to be careful, right? Why? Because we need to come to terms. And what he said was, when I was in the depths of that dark place, your hand was heavy upon me. Aren't you glad that he doesn't let go? Because he had every reason to let go of David. If ever there was a reason. He's the king. He's had such blessing. He's been blessed with the anointing. Samuel was his best buddy. He was anointed to be king. He didn't do anything wrong towards Saul. It was a great run that he had. Everything he put his hand to was blessed and prospered. He had every reason to be a victorious Christian. But one thing lackest thou. You do not appreciate, David, that you were shapen in iniquity and that your feet are made of clay. When Paul came to the conclusion of chapter 7 of the book of Romans, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He realized he was a wretch. And he said, I have learned, therefore, that with my flesh I will serve the law of sin, and with my mind I will serve the law of God. You say, well, Does that mean he's going to let go like the Gnostics and do whatever he wants? No, he's saying, I'm afraid of my flesh. I don't trust my flesh. And with my flesh, I will serve the law of sin. I'm going to serve the fact that sin is in me. I'm going to serve the fact that I know I have an iniquity in me that is really, really, listen, really, really dangerous. It will destroy us. It will destroy everything we love. And it will destroy people we love. Amnon rapes Tamar. Absalom kills in avenging his sister's virtue, kills Amnon. The child dies. Absalom begins to take away the kingdom from his own flesh and blood, stages a coup. And he dies a humiliating death. What a terrible thing. But David says, blessed, happy. Why? Because he says over in 51, in chapter 51, he says, against you and you only have I sinned. He says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me and I will be whiter than snow. Right? He knew where his need was to be met. And it wasn't in the people. It was in the Lord. You and I need to realize that David is rejoicing for cause. He's got good reason. He goes on after he says Selah. He wants us to meditate on that, but he goes off after he says Selah at the end of verse 4. He says, my vitality or my moisture was turned into the drought of summer, and you should maybe underline that word, because the word for drought comes from a word that literally means to be desolate, to destroy, to kill, to parch, to decay. David's words are chosen wisely, are they not? Destruction, decay. Killing. You know, everything about our behavior. We need to realize that we matter to other people. We matter to God. We matter to the kingdom. And it's an important thing to know. Because if we will get this thing under our belt and know it, we can begin as Paul did. We can deal with it in a way that is circumspect and careful. And we can also deal with other people carefully when they fall down. Life's a mess, isn't it? It gets to be crazy. I mean, it only takes a moment, one night, one evening for David, and man, everything went sideways. And yet, because he had such a foundation of being out under the stars and singing to the Lord and loving on the Lord and killing a bear and killing a lion with his stones in his bare hands in some sense and taking down Goliath and victory and victory and victory, he had enough foundation to know behind the semblance of things that God was not this thunderbolts and lightning God. He knew he was his father. I just want to tell you, I thank God he's my father. Because I can get my mind around that. Because I'm a father. And I love my kids. And I love my grandkids. Not perfectly, but I love them. I do what I can for them. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm saying. You take care. And God takes care. And He identifies. He doesn't count my brokenness against me. You guys remember perhaps the story of the little girl who was crippled and couldn't walk well and kind of was twisted up and everything. And she was going to have some surgery, but she really didn't want to because she was told it was going to be really painful. One night her dad walked in. And she was just crying her eyes out because she was so afraid. And the dad sidled up next to her on the edge of the bed and said, honey, what's wrong? And she told him. But she didn't go right at the heart of the matter. Don't you love me just like I am? How could you set this up and make it be so painful and hurtful? How can you love me? Don't you love me just like I am? He said, honey, I love you. I love every bit of you. I love you just like you are. But I love you too much to leave you that way when we can help you with this. And that's the way God is with you and with me. He won't leave you like that. He loves you too much to do that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.